Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is Monday, February the 6th. We have got a fantastic show for you today, but let's kick it off as we do each day with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The morning offering. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart. In union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in thanksgiving for your favors, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. We have got a great show coming up shortly on the program. We're going to be visited by Dr. Kevin Vost, and we'll continue our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today, we'll talk about the gift of knowledge. We also, because this is the first Monday of the month, are going to be paid a visit by Mark Pelletino, who is the president of the Malvern Retreat House. Mark joins us each month to chat about what's coming up for the month at the Malvern Retreat House. It's also an extra special day today because returning to us, Dave Parker.
Hey, Gary, thank you.
You're back.
I'm back, yes.
And Frank Eliason is here, too.
I'm here, yeah. It's just a pleasurable day.
Yeah, it is. It's good to see Dave back, Frank, isn't it?
It is. Still hobbling a little bit, but, like, getting along.
So. Yeah, and Barb kind of coaxed me to get out of the house.
I understand that feeling.
Enough said. You'll be fine, Dave. Go to work, please.
Yeah, really.
So, how's the knee today?
The knee is okay. Oh. It's okay. It's coming along. It'll be a week or two before it gets restored by Mother Nature and prayer. So please pray for me. It's good, but I'm good.
My family, we're praying for you, Dave. We were praying for you during our rosary because, fun what you're going through. You're on crutches today.
Yeah, and you guys know I'm pretty active. Dad, Grandpa, everything else, and just slowed down. So maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something. You know, he's getting my attention.
Well, you better listen.
That has happened throughout my life.
That's right. Well, I'm glad to see that it's getting a little bit better. Right?
Yes.
A little progress, but it's going to be slow.
Yeah, it
You're
is.
You're not as young as you used to be.
Absolutely, I know. Yeah, thanks, Gear. Thanks, Frank.
All right, boys, we need to talk Super Bowl.
Oh wow!
What a game, huh?
What a game! Got to give credit where credit's due. But wow.
You know, I just had a feeling New England would pull it out somehow because they just seem to do that all the time.
I actually was not even watching the game for whatever reason. I was playing games with my wife. That didn't come across quite right. Video games with my
wife. No comment.
And we realized, live radio people, we realized that, Super Bowl's on. We should be turning that on, pay attention to the commercials, what everybody's going to talk to. I turned it on. It was 28-0.
Yeah.
I went, wow. Didn't miss much. Not certain we can go back.
I would say that's accurate. Most people had that impression. I watched the whole game, had some friends over. Thank you to Al and Kathy, who brought their party to me. God bless you. And to Barbara. But anyways, it was like, oh, man, it's turning out. Everybody said Atlanta's going to blow the Patriots away. First half looked like that.
Right.
It was that. So I don't know.
But we got to, give credit to New England because they just always seem to find a way. And in fact, there were 24 records that were either broken or tied last night.
It's an amazing list. You know, most games by a player, Tom Brady. Most games by a coach, Bill Belichick. Most games won by a coach, Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. Most points in a game, James White. Most passes in a game, Tom Brady. Most completions in a game, Tom Brady. Most passing yards in a game, Tom Brady. Most receptions in a game, James White. Largest deficit overcome by the winning team, 25 points.
Whoa.
Most points in overtime in a game, 6, New England. And actually, there's more to it than that. There's never been an overtime Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that was
and first. We're not just talking about 10 or 20 Super Bowls. This was Super Bowl 51.
That's right.
I mean, so this is pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
Most first downs in a game by a team. Most first downs in a game by both teams. Most first down passing in a game by a team, New England. Most first down passing in a game by both teams, New England and Atlanta. Most offensive plays in a game by a team. 93, New England. Oh, wow.
Holy Spirit Radio Sports.
Most passing yards in a game by both teams. 682 passing yards. Most completions in a Super Bowl career. Tom Brady, 207. Most passing yards in a Super Bowl career. 2,071 by Tom Brady. Most touchdown passes in a Super Bowl career. 15, Tom Brady. Now, here's some of that were tied. Most games won, Tom Brady. Most touchdowns in a game. Most sacks in a game, Grady Jarrett. Most two-point conversions in a game by a team. Now, you know, isn't that a big change? The rules changed a number of years back.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're old enough to remember the rules change to have a two-point conversion.
Yep. Right.
We had 2 two-point conversions.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
Most first downs by penalty in a game. New England. So these are records that were broken or tied during this Super Bowl.
That is an incredible list. And we thank you for tuning in. That's all we have time for today.
That's all we have for today. We're done.
But that's incredible. All those records broken or tied.
You have to give credit where credit's
due.
You know, I'm not a New England fan, not because I don't really like them, but the reality is I love to see more teams spread out.
Spread the wealth,
as they say. But you know what? To come back from that, I don't care what your opinion is of anyone on that team or the coach. And the reality is teams don't come back from 28.
Exactly.
And Brady was getting pummeled. He was hit repeatedly, and people were saying, boy, he showed his age because he was off. You know, his timing was off the first half, and then went into the locker room at halftime and came out. And everything turned around.
Hey, gentlemen, we're older here, you know. There's some benefits of age, too, because I'll make the case that, he showed his age. He wore out that defense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He totally wore out that defense. By that second half, you watch that defense, there was nothing left. So that's my take on it, is it really just he wore them out with his own abilities.
And I'm sure we could go the whole hour, Gare, but I don't know. Is there
just getting over the fact that Frank just called us old. I don't know.
I call myself old, too.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Yeah, we could, I mean, but that was, you just can't not talk about that game.
Yeah, it was one of those that, you know, I wasn't thrilled with the commercials.
Normally
I watch the Super Bowl for the commercials, but you know what? The game itself... Wow.
Yeah.
You know, just a pure football fan, was incredible to watch a comeback like that.
It sure was. Now, getting back to the show, I want to point out this week, we got a busy week this week, guys. Coming up, of course, we have today Mark Poletno, Kevin Vost will be with us. Tomorrow, Eustace Mita will be here. He's going to talk about Man Up Philly. Uh-huh. And we're going to be broadcasting live from Man Up Philly on March 4th.
I almost messed up.
Why?
So my one daughter was sick this weekend. Robin was sick, so we were supposed to go to see Wicked as a family and with their Girl Scout troop, and she was sick, so she had to stay home.
Yeah. And how is Robin doing? She better?
She's still sick. She'll be home today. Sorry, Robin.
Get well soon, Robin.
So I had an all-day date with Lily, and we had a behind-the-scenes look at Wicked, and then we saw the show. We had so much fun that I wanted to surprise them with tickets. So I actually bought tickets in the midst, right before the show, while we're sitting in the audience, bought tickets, and I bought them accidentally for the day we're at Man Up Philly. Had to step out, make a phone call, got them changed.
Oh, so that's good.
We're still good.
Excellent.
My wife saw the email come through, and she goes, what are you doing?
Can they bring Wicked to Man Up Philly?
I'm glad you corrected that. So we're going to be talking about Man Up Philly tomorrow. Also, Teresa Tomeo will be here. Mm-hmm. Big day tomorrow. She's going to give us a firsthand report on the March for Life, what she saw there. I wanted her to come on and talk about that. Wednesday on the show, Lisa Duffy. She does some great work with divorced Catholics. I think that is such an important ministry that she's doing. I really want you to hear what she has to say. And then Thursday, our buddy Mark Houck will be in the studio. Mark Houck from the Kingsmen will be here in the studio.
Always fun.
He is. Think we can get him up that early? That's
going to be the interesting part.
I think it's going to be Kingsmen Spirit in the Morning version.
Okay. Maybe we can bribe him. Is Mark a donut guy? Can we give him some donuts to get him in here early?
We'll probably get him some donuts.
Maybe some yum yum.
Yeah, whatever we have to do. So Mark will be here. And then on Friday, we'll have a doubleheader. Tony Agnese, great Catholic storyteller, podcaster, blogger. He's been here before. He'll be here. And Dan Burke will continue our Into the Deep series.
Another incredible weekend.
Yeah, it's got to be fun. So without further ado, let's look at today's gospel. It's a bit of a short one today. We go to Mark chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. After making the crossing to the other side of the sea, Jesus and his disciples came to land at Gennesaret and tied up there. As they were leaving the boat, people immediately recognized him. They scurried about the surrounding country and began to bring in the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Whatever villages or towns or countryside he entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. Powerful story. This is one, guys, that it's almost easy to overlook and say, okay, yeah, Jesus healed a lot of people. He was busy. Mm-hmm. Let me move on. Mm-hmm. But one thing that really stood out to me is that people recognized him. They saw Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I would throw out the question, do we recognize him today? Mm-hmm. Do we recognize him as we go throughout our day?
Mm-hmm.
Do we recognize him in other people? Mm-hmm. Do we recognize his presence in our lives? And are we as willing as some of these people were to bring our friends to Jesus, starting with being nice to the person who drives us crazy, right? I mean,
exactly.
Are we willing?
Are we, yeah.
A lot of times I'm not, and I really was thinking about
that
over the weekend.
Sometimes I'm not.
Yeah,
you know,
right? I mean, it's good to assess ourselves each day.
Like, absolutely.
Am I doing what Jesus would want me to do? And in fact, I went to confession on Saturday, which felt great. And what I've been finding is the more you go to confession, and this is something I've always read about, the more you go to confession, the more aware you become of your imperfections and your sins. You realize that, hey, maybe I don't have this together. That's the grace that comes from the sacrament.
Yeah, the humility that comes from that.
And it's a good thing. I mean, I want to find this out now before I'm judged one day and the Lord says, hey, Gary, come on, you weren't nice to people.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you had so many times to check it out, check yourself out, you know?
Right. So that's the challenge for each of us. Do we recognize Jesus? Are we willing to bring others to him? And do we go to him ourselves? Do we bring our problems to him? Do we ask him to help us? If I'm trying to become a better person, if I'm failing so many times, am I turning to him for help? Or am I just trying to do it all myself? So think about that today. If you want to reflect on that gospel a little bit more, you can find that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. You can also find all the songs that we play. You can find information about our guests on the program and much, much more at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, we're going to continue our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit with Dr. Kevin Vost. Today we'll be talking about the gift of knowledge. Knowledge is one of those gifts that you might think you understand, but you need to hear what Kevin has to say today. Your Spirit in the Morning wake-up time right now is 7:12. Don't go anywhere. Grab some coffee, and we'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 6th. Today we celebrate St. Paul Meeki and companions. The 26 men and women we honor today, the first martyrs of the Far East, remind us yet again of the price followers of Jesus have paid throughout history. Jesuit brother Paul Meeki, a native of Japan, has become the best known among the martyrs who died in 1597 during a period of harsh persecution of Christians. His companions, who also lost their lives, included a Franciscan, St. Peter Baptist, catechists, doctors, artisans, servants, elderly men, and children. What bound them together was their common faith and their love for Jesus and his church. Paul Meeki continued to preach Christianity in his final hours. While hanging upon a cross placed on a hill overlooking Nagasaki, he forgave his persecutors. Following the crucifixions of Paul Meeki and his companions, some missionary work continued. Finally, Christians were forced to go underground until the 1860s, when Japan was reopened to the outside world. Upon their return, the missionaries found little trace of Christianity, except around Nagasaki, where local Christians had secretly preserved the faith. The martyrs of Japan were canonized in 1862. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder
That's all I can say. That's Carrie Underwood accompanied by Vince Gill, How Great Thou Art. That is an amazing song. The way she builds going throughout that, man, gets me every time. Thanks for listening to the program. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Our time right now is 7:19. For the past few weeks, we have been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit with Dr. Kevin Vost. Dr. Vost is an author and a speaker. You can find him online at drvost.com. He's here with us once again to continue this walk through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, Dr. Vost.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, you know, I am really excited about this series.
And yeah, I'm enjoying it myself.
You know, it's so good that we're able to take our time, which is what I wanted to do, and walk through these seven gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we really understand them. Now, in the past couple of weeks, we covered the gift of fear of the Lord, which is the And you mentioned that you have a filial fear of the Lord and you have a servile fear. We want to head more toward the filial fear when we love our Heavenly Father so much that we don't want to offend Him by anything we do, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and then last week we talked about the gift of piety, which helps us to appreciate and understand that God is our Heavenly Father and that all of our brothers and sisters, everybody around us, are all really brothers and sisters because we have the same Heavenly Father. And Kevin, I wanted to ask you something that I've been mulling this over in my mind. Suppose I have somebody in my life. Let's just say Dave Parker, my co-host, for instance. He's really getting on my nerves. Now, this is a hypothetical situation.
But are you sure?
Right. So suppose Dave does something and he's really annoying me and I want to get mad at him. But I pause for a minute and say, wait a minute. Dave and I, we have the same Heavenly Father. And if I yell at Dave or if I get angry at Dave, that's going to really upset my Father in Heaven, who I know loves me and He loves Dave. Would you say that that might be the gifts of piety and fear of the Lord kicking in?
Yes, I think so, because all these gifts are designed to give us practical applications, you know, in the world around us and the people that God has put in our lives day by day. So exactly right. The gift of fear of the Lord, we're having a loving fear of God. We don't want to offend Him. That piety, we see God as a Father. We see even Dave as our brother.
Right.
Exactly. These gifts do that. They should affect the way that we treat each other in our daily lives.
And I think so many times we attribute it to our own resilience or I was able to hold my tongue. I was able to do the right thing. But yet in reality, and of course we still have free will, but in reality, the Holy Spirit was giving us a little nudge there and planting that seed, that thought in our minds, and then it's up to us to do what we want with it.
That's right. That's the Holy Spirit's acting. We're surrendering to Him and then acting on those impulses.
So this is really powerful. That's why I love this series, because it's helping me to better appreciate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're basically ascending this stairway, as you put in your book, and unpacking all the gifts. So first we looked at fear of the Lord. Then we take another step. We look at piety. This week, we're going to look at the gift of knowledge. What is the gift of knowledge?
Yeah, and one way to think about this, too, is the way all these gifts do build upon each other.
Yeah.
So we've had this loving fear of God. Now we're recognizing, especially remembering He's our loving Father.
Right.
Now with this gift of knowledge, we're going to dig deep into, okay, now what is our Father teaching us? What is He teaching us through the articles of the faith? And what is He teaching us and giving us through all the world around us? So this gift of knowledge involves our ability to know and judge rightly about the things of our faith, what the church has taught us. Mm-hmm. And it also enables us to look out in the world and see every, you know, living being as a creature that in some way reflects the glories of the Creator. So it has like this twofold gift, perfecting our intellect in terms of matters of the faith and a proper way of looking at and seeing the things in the world.
How would the gift of knowledge differ from the intellectual virtue of knowledge?
Yeah, the intellectual virtue of knowledge is just a part of our uniquely human ability of all the species to understand things, to reason, to see cause and effect relationships.
Mm-hmm.
The actual word knowledge comes from the Latin scire, which is the base word of the word science. You know, so science comes from that. We can learn about the world. So just to give one real concrete example, you know, through science, let's say we're going to look at that growing human inside the mother's womb.
Right.
And through science, we can say, oh, this is a human development. Those are human organs forming. Oh, there's human DNA in there from two parents. So we can see these facts. But also with the Holy Spirit's gift of knowledge, what comes through our Catholic faith, we can also see that is also a being made in the image and likeness of God and a being whose life is sanctified and holy. So when we really embrace this gift, we get the total aha of the sanctity of life, and it should also inspire us to act out and to do practical things in our life, you know, to defend that right.
Very interesting. You mentioned in the book, too, and I really, this hit me. You talked about the gift of knowledge. It operates in an instant, unlike the intellectual virtue of knowledge, which really is a process. It's a reasoning process, and I'm going through this reasoning in my mind, and finally I come to a conclusion that, yes, this must be true. But the gift of knowledge, it's something that can just happen in an instant, correct?
That's right. You know, St. Thomas says, of course, God knows everything instantly, and even angels don't know everything, but they don't have bodies like us. They don't think through a step-by-step process. They're given an instant illumination. Well, when the Holy Spirit acts in us, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't go through that step-by-step process. It's there, so it's like when we get these, you know, spiritual ahas. You know,
yeah.
Maybe there's some aspect of the faith that, you know, you've been familiar with this for decades, but all of a sudden you have that, aha, now I really get it, or I'm really certain of my belief in this.
Wow. And we've all been there. I've been there many times in my life. We know what the church teaches, but sometimes we struggle or we just don't quite get it. And then one day it's almost as if the light bulb goes on. That would be the gift of knowledge really taking effect.
Yes, just amazing. It can act in an instant in some very profound ways that can then affect us at times through the rest of our lives.
Kevin, if you could, talk about how this sacrament of reconciliation can help us grow in the gift of knowledge. I'm a big believer in confession. I went over the weekend. How can this help the gift of knowledge to grow within us?
Oh, yes. You know, one thing for the gift of knowledge and for all the gifts, you know, they're coming to us through God's grace. But, you know, when we commit a mortal sin, we can shut off the channels of grace.
Wow.
So when we go and confess, you know, our souls are cleansed, all these gifts are, you know, flowing through us again through the theological virtue of charity. So, you know, it reopens all the channels. And also, if you particularly embrace this gift of knowledge, you're going to have a deeper knowledge of the faith. You know, you're going to know what's considered right and wrong, what's a sin, what might be a sin of omission.
Right.
So the better you have a grasp of the faith, the better you're going to be able to examine your conscience and confess these sins and work on rooting them out.
And one of the things you mentioned in the book was that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, thy will be done. And many of us say, oh, yes, I want to do God's will. But without the gift of knowledge, we often don't really know fully what God's will is for us.
That's a great point that, yes, you know, we want to do God's will, so we need to know what it is. We need to seek, you know, to learn more faith more deeply so we actually can embrace God's will in the ways that he speaks to us in the Scripture and also into our hearts every day.
And you mentioned in the book something else that I found interesting. And by the way, I am going to have this book linked at spiritinthemorning.com. It's The Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's a fantastic book. Kevin, one of the things you mentioned that really touched me was that you said, interestingly, the first blessing that flows directly from the gift of knowledge is the beatitude of mourning. That really stunned me. Could you just elaborate that? We have about a minute left. Maybe touch on what that's all about.
Sure, the beatitude of mourning, and St. Augustine is one of the first to point this out, that beatitude of mourning can really kick in when we are embracing this gift of knowledge, where we're seeing things as they really are. You know, maybe all the petty things in the world that we've devoted our lives to, it's all a quest for money or status or power. When we're given that great gift of knowledge to see what's truly important in the world, we might get a certain sense of mourning or sadness, like, you know, wow, I've been tracing all the wrong things.
Yeah.
There's kind of sadness. I've lost these opportunities and lost this time. So when we embrace the gift of knowledge, it's like an aha that here's what really matters. You know, not the treasures on earth, you know, but the treasures of God.
Boy, I've been there. I really have so many times, and I know Dave has too. We look at our lives, we look back on our lives, and we say, wow, I wasted a lot of time on things that really didn't matter, that aren't going to help me to get to heaven. So I really appreciate, Kevin, you coming on, talking about this. We just have a few seconds left. The best place to get the book?
I'd say your local Catholic bookstore or Catholic booksellers or Amazon, a variety of places.
Great. And we can also follow you online at drvost.com.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on. Again, that book, The Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, I highly recommend it. Kevin, you going to be back on with us next week so we can continue?
Absolutely. Be looking forward to
awesome.
You. Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you again. Dr. Kevin Vost talking about the Holy Spirit. When we come back, Mark Poletno from Malvern is going to be here. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit radio news update. Washington State is picking up allies in its fight with the Trump administration over its ban on certain refugees and travelers from seven predominantly Muslim countries. Dozens of tech companies, including giants like Apple, Google, and Uber, filed briefs late yesterday with a federal appellate court saying that the Trump executive order to stop people from certain countries from entering the U.S. hurts their businesses by making it harder to recruit. Meanwhile, the White House is expressing optimism over its case for restoring that ban on refugees and travelers. Both sides are under a deadline today to fire arguments before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Justice Department response claims national security. The plaintiffs claim restoring the ban will result in chaos. During his Angelus address yesterday, Pope Francis made the cause of life his urgent prayer intention for the month of February. The Holy Father said, quote, "We pray for the children who are in danger of the interruption of pregnancy, as well as for persons who are at the end of life. Every life is sacred, so that no one is left alone and that love may defend the meaning of life," end quote. His general intention for February is that all those who are afflicted, especially the poor, refugees, and marginalized, may find welcome and comfort in our communities. And it's likely to be a while before the glow wears off in Boston after the New England Patriots captured the Super Bowl in dramatic fashion last night. The Patriot fans took to the streets of Boston to celebrate their team's 34-28 overtime win over the Atlanta Falcons. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
You're listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. The late humorist Irma Bombeck called the organization Esperanza a handful of dreamers who thought they could run a boat up and down the Amazon, dispensing medicine, love, and life itself. Actually, Esperanza means hope. The group was founded in the 1970s by the late Franciscan priest-physician Luke Tupper. Father Tupper believed that medicine should be a holy profession and that each person we encounter should be treated with dignity and respect. Esperanza still attracts medical professionals and other volunteers to do immunizations, surgery, and other medical and dental procedures on countless individuals around the world. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
tell you what I think you wanna hear, but it wouldn't be good enough. All I can do is thank you for this life I never deserved. Wanna thank you for the grace I know I don't have to earn. You love me, you love me. Your mercy is proof. All I can do is say thank you. All I can do is say thank you. Thank you. All I can do, all I can do, all I can do. All I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All I can do, all I can do, all I can do. All I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All I can do, all I can do, all I can do. Is say thank you.
And that was All I Can Do by Mike's Chair. Have you ever been there? Sometimes you say, Lord, all I can do is say thank you. And that's something we should do, right? We should thank him for the many blessings that he has given to us. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Quick look at the National Weather Service forecast for Philadelphia International Airport. Currently at the airport, it's 40 degrees. Today, we're going to be sunny with a high near 47. Tonight, a chance of rain after 2 a.m., increasing clouds with a low of 38. Tuesday, rain with a high near 58. Now listen to this. Tuesday night, rain likely, cloudy with a low around 51. And then Wednesday, we're going to have a chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 61 degrees.
61.
Yeah. Not going to be sunny, though. It's going to be rainy. But man, we could have a bit of an issue with some sort of a wintry mix, but we'll keep you posted, and that's going to be Tuesday night. We'll keep you posted as we get closer. Every month on The Spirit in the Morning, we are blessed to be joined by Mark Poletino. Mark is the president of the Malvern Retreat House. He's joining us again today to talk about what's coming up at Malvern in the month of February. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, brother. How are you, Gary?
I am always good when I'm with you, my man.
Terrific. Thanks be to God. It's a great day, and God has blessed us with life and His Spirit.
That's right. So many times we wake up and we forget to think about that, don't we, Mark?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, I think the first thing that hits us often is the drudgery of the day and what's ahead of us, and we get distracted, and we forget about, as we were just hearing in the song, giving thanks to God.
That's right.
All I can do is give thanks to God.
That's right. Now, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up over the next few weeks at Malvern. What kind of events do we have coming up?
We have a lot of activities this month. Some of the things I'd like to highlight, Gary, for couples, married couples who are wanting to spend an alternative Valentine's this Sunday from 5 to 9, we're having a Valentine evening of reflection, which is actually a super, super dinner with all of the trimmings. It's a great dinner in our Family Life Center. After that, an opportunity to hear a reflection from a married couple about marriage, and then Mass, Monsignor Tufo from St. Mary Magdalene Parish celebrating the Mass. So it's going to be a full-packed evening for couples. The only problem is it's almost full.
Oh.
So if anybody is interested, they have to contact Malvern very soon.
Okay. And they would do that, Mark, by going to the website, or is there a
phone
number?
Going to the website would be the quickest way, and if they have any issues of going to, registering through the website, they can just call our number, and our numbers are there on the website, and they can get connected.
Okay, and the website is malvernretreat.com, correct?
That is correct.
Great. Okay, so what else do we have going on?
So we also have next weekend a retro-buy retreat. Mm. From Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And for couples that may be going through some challenging times, we're offering the opportunity to enter into the Retro-Vi experience and book at a new perspective of their marriage and their relationship, maybe inviting God into a new way and hopefully getting a fresh start. Mm. So that's coming up this weekend as well.
Okay.
We're having on February 15th, we're doing a series of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Mm-hmm. And Monsignor Mannion, who has spent many, many days and weeks with Mother Teresa while she was alive, is giving these presentations. And the next part of that series is a day of reflection, February 15th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mm. And I'll tell you, I have listened to some of his presentations, and they are powerful.
He's got a great reputation. I've heard a lot about him.
Yes, indeed. And then, Gary, we have our traditional men's retreats coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Also, the 24th, 25th, and 26th of February, and the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of March. We have a Dominica women's retreat, which is focusing particularly on women and more in the traditional retreat style, mm-hmm. on March 3rd through 5th. And we're having a Ash Wednesday day of reflection, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. On our grounds on March 1st, Ash Wednesday. So we'd like to invite anybody who wants to spend the beginning of Lent there with us to participate. Also, I want to highlight the Women of Fire retreat with Kathleen McCarthy, Anne McGlone, Anna Iatesta, and Marty Rotella.
Whoa.
That's a powerful team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that is the 10th, 11th, and 12th of March. A group that I have sat in on some of their retreats and days of reflection and talk about being a fire and the Spirit working through those wonderful, faithful instruments of God. That's a great team.
Oh, I can vouch for that. I know some of them personally. And you talk about being on fire with the Holy Spirit. There you go.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. And I just, looking ahead, I just want to highlight a couple things real quickly.
Sure.
I know March, at the end of March, we're actually having a Sanctuary of Healing Day with Jenny Hubbard. She's the mother of one of the children
yes.
that was killed at Sandy Hook.
Yes,
and
I'm aware of her.
She is now speaking more about her experience and how faith has played a role in her own journey of recovery from that experience. And later in the year, heading into summer, just want to point out that friends of the program, Lisa Duffy, will be with us for a separated and divorced retreat.
Oh.
Teresa Tomio and her husband will be with us. And, of course, Gary Zimmack.
Hey, that's what I hear.
Will be with us.
For the Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat.
That's for sure. And so there's a lot of great, great faith-filled people coming into Melbourne Retreat Center, Melbourne Retreat House in the upcoming months. So I just encourage people to stay connected and look at our traditional retreats as well as our special programs.
Mark, you know what's interesting? We have this week on the program, Lisa Duffy and Teresa Tomio will be joining us this week. So it's kind of cool that you're bringing in some of these people to Malvern. You're doing a great job. I am so happy that you're the president, Mark. You are just doing a fantastic job, brother.
God is good. God is good. And one of the things, Gary, that has been in my heart the past few weeks has been let him increase and I should decrease. So whatever way I can.
Amen.
Be a servant and be a servant leader and make the focus on him, but bring people in who are going to help inspire others to get closer to Christ and get to heaven. That's our goal.
Wow. Well, you keep it up, brother. That really should be all of our jobs, and you do a great job leading us at Malvern. And once again, online, it's malvernretreat.com. The place to go to find out about all the events that are taking place at Malvern. Now, Mark, before I let you go, I like to talk some spiritual matters because you're such a wise person. We have Lent coming up. We have Lent coming up, March the 1st. Do you have any thoughts about what we can do to make the most of Lent? The next time we'll speak, we'll be in Lent. What would your advice be? How can I get ready to get the most out of Lent, to make this my best Lent ever?
Wow, that's a powerful question, because I think it means different things for different people. Yeah. But I think that a lot of it is looking at ways that we can just approach what the church calls us to be in terms of people of prayer, people of sacrifice and fasting, and people of giving to others. So you know, opening our hearts in service, opening our hearts to help out others. Maybe it's through time, talent, treasure, whatever it is. But I think it's so important for all of us to think about it ahead of time, because Ash Wednesday can come upon us, Lent can be upon us. We could be halfway through Lent and all of a sudden realize, hey, I didn't even think about this. And, and the time is a fleeting. And, you know, I think if we try and set a little bit of quiet time ahead and maybe go to spend a few minutes every day leading up to Ash Wednesday, asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do this Lent so that I can get closer to you in those areas? You know, quiet time with you, prayer, fasting and sacrifice, what's that going to mean for me this year, and then how can I serve others?
Right. Well, and that's great advice. So let's all start doing that. I knew you would come through, brother. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, but I knew the Holy Spirit would give you the right words. Hey, Mark.
God is good.
Mark, thank you so much for being on with us. You're awesome. Can't wait to talk to you next month.
Thanks, brother. God bless
you. All right. God bless you as well. Mark Poletino from the Malvern Retreat House. We're going to be right back with the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Don't go anywhere.
This is why we stay.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
Wake up and smile, 'cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. This child awaits, strong in the faith. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to. 'Cause I can't let a day go, can't let a day go by without thanking you for the joy that you bring to my life. And it's a beautiful day. When trouble seems to rain on my dreams, it's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. 'Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free, and you're still the refuge that I've just to get to. So I won't let a day go, won't let a day go by. So put the drop top down, turn it up, I'm ready to fly. And ooh, there's something about the way your sun shines on my face. It's a love so true, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong, I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away, it's a beautiful. And there's something about the way Your love shines on my face. Oh no, I can never get enough of you.
It's a beautiful day, Jamie Grace. I know my wife Eileen is singing along to that one. Good morning, sweetie. How you doing? And good morning to you. Thanks for listening to the program. I am Gary Zimek here in the studios of Holy Spirit Radio, along with Dave Parker and Frank Eliason. We are we were blessed today to have two guests, Dr. Kevin Vost and Mark Poletino from Malvern. We're going to have all of their information linked at spiritinthemorning.com, so make sure you visit there later on so you can get in touch with our guests. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse, and this comes from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. This is from the book of Tobit, Tobit 4:8. Give in proportion to what you own. If you have great wealth, give alms out of your abundance. If you have but little, do not be afraid to give alms, even of that little. I wanted to include this verse because I think one of the things that we worry about many times is lack of money. How am I going to pay my bills? I can't give to the church because I might have these expenses. Now, God doesn't want you to give away your mortgage money. He understands that we have obligations. That would be irresponsible. But I think sometimes what we do is we save money for a rainy day, which, again, is not a bad thing. But how much is too much? At some point, we've got to put our trust in God and realize I've got savings in the bank. Yes, something could go wrong. I've got it covered. But we can sometimes become a little greedy
and
think, like, I can't give this money because what if something happens that I need it? So I really think that prayer is the answer.
Yeah, prayer is the answer. I was going to say, sometimes, I mean, God
know
wants
that
us,
balance.
God I think God wants us to do it immediately. Trust me. And that's thought. We get into
hard,
that zone
sometimes.
Where, like, I want to trust you, but will you really help me? You know, will you really guarantee that I'm not going to suffer?
There's a reason they call it faith.
Yep. This is true.
Right.
This is true.
Because we need to know the guarantees. All right, Lord, I'm going to give money to church, but can you give me a list of my expenses that are going to come up throughout the year? The unexpected ones especially. And then, but sometimes you do have to trust. And again, I'm not saying be irresponsible. Be responsible. Save. Savings are good. That's not a bad thing. But we just have to ask ourselves, could somebody else who maybe needs to eat today, who doesn't have money for food, could that person benefit from my donation?
And sometimes it's a conflict with society itself. And I think it's recognizing that fact. You know, we were kind of programmed by society in certain ways, and it's okay to be different. And it's okay to sit there and say, you know what, this is more important.
Right.
It's not a me world.
One thing I like to do in the morning that, I mean, this centers me, or I try to get centered when I go and turn on the Keurig machine.
Yeah.
You know, I warm it up, and I just say, thank you, God, for this coffee.
Oh,
and
that's great.
And I just start. I try to start with the little things, because if I don't,
then I
forget.
Yeah.
So I try to build that into my memory first thing in the morning when I'm groggy, and that's what I try to do. And I hope I'm doing it. But then it just goes from there. Thanks, Lord, for everything else that follows.
That's such a great example, Dave, because they're the things that we usually can very easily take for granted.
Absolutely.
Oh, my coffee's not hot enough. I don't like this coffee. You know,
I think everyone else actually thanks God that I had coffee and I'm not crabby.
That's true.
But, well, we won't go there.
That's true. And
especially on a Monday.
And by the way, as we discussed in that last segment with Mark, Lent's going to be here in a few short weeks. It's time to get ready.
Once you asked that question, I was like, wow, it's coming on so fast.
Me too. And I said to Gary on the break, when the song, I said, wow, Lent, we're talking Lent already.
Right. March the 1st is Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
So now's a good time for us to start thinking, what can I do? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You know, rather than just do something routine, maybe think a little outside of the box.
Absolutely.
Something that'll help you spiritually.
Show your faith. Show your spirit.
Right.
Do good in society.
It doesn't always have to be giving something up. It can be doing something
extra. Doing something. I think
of Tobit, what you just said. what you just quoted.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be talking more about Lent, even before we get to Lent. And then when we get in Lent, we're going to be talking even more about Lent. So we're going to keep you motivated here to stay focused on Jesus Christ. Dave, I believe you have a shout-out today.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Gary. I want to give my wife, Barbara, a good shout-out, because with my hobbled knee, she's been picking up the slack. She's a trooper, and I love you. Thank you.
That's very nice. And thank you, Barbara, for sharing Dave with us each morning.
I'll get a text. No problem.
You want to share them in the afternoon, too?
Before we go, Frank, you have a programming note.
Yeah. You know, one of the things is love to share programs that I think will excite people. Mm-hmm. And this past weekend, on the top of the week, Franciscan University Presents had Archbishop Chaput on. Oh. And it was a very good episode. So we're going to replay that episode. So tomorrow, Tuesday at 4 o'clock, as well as Sunday at 2, we're going to replay Franciscan University Presents with Archbishop Chaput. Mm-hmm. It's about the debut of his new book.
Oh, okay.
So he talks a lot about that, but just a really great message throughout. It was a fun episode to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I caught it, you know, early yesterday and, you know, said, okay, I want to replay that. Mm-hmm. So we had a recording of it, so we will play
it tomorrow at
4 and Sunday at 2. So if you did not catch it yesterday, I would recommend listening tomorrow.
And incidentally, if the listeners want to find out everything that's going on Holy Spirit Radio, holyspiritradio.org
is definitely the place to go. And I would actually also recommend, if you ever do hear a show that you're like, that was just a great show, it should be replayed, you know, send me an email, frank@holyspiritradio.org. When we do have opportunities, we love to bring out these local things to share that are important to our listening audience. And so, you know, I won't always catch it. It just so happens I caught that episode and I wanted to replay it. So always feel free to email me with your opinions.
I was going to say, kudos to Frank and Gary, because the best of this past Saturday, although I came in at about 20 after 12, it was the best. I mean, it was the compilation of the best interviews. And we
just
we
last, had just, so, just interviews last week. Week.
And that's right, Frank.
Awesome.
You did a great job with that.
Jeanette, Dr. Colleen Kelly Mast. It was
Dr.
fun.
Ray. It was fun to put together. I think we're going to do more of that when we have these interviews and we look at the shows and say, wow, what a week this was. So every Saturday we always play the best Spirit of the Morning for the week, but sometimes it's hard to decide.
At noon. Okay.
And so it's sometimes hard to decide. Last week I could not decide. So compilation was a great way of doing it. So we're going to do that more often.
We had such heavy hitters from EWTN, and Gary is so good at getting these folks on. So
God is good. He keeps sending us people, which is fantastic. Let's close with our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O God, strength of all the saints who through the cross were pleased to call the martyrs, St. Paul Mickey, and companions to life, grant we pray that by their intercession we may hold with courage even until death to the faith that we profess. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, guys, I can't believe we're just about at the end of the show. This one went fast.
It flew.
Anytime we have these multiple guests, it gets really busy in here.
Yeah, and we're going to do it again tomorrow. Eustace Mita will be here to talk about Man Up Philly, and Teresa Tamia will be here to talk about the March for Life. She has some insight. She was really in the middle of it, and she'll be giving us some insight into the March for Life.
It was great listening to her throughout that whole day. So,
and Teresa's been really good. She wants to come on this program as often as possible, so we're always glad to have her.
She's always been a great friend of the station, and we very much appreciate her coming on.
Definitely. So we have all that coming up, plus lots more. Don't forget, on February the 21st, we're taking the show on the road. We're going to be at Archbishop Ryan High School broadcasting live. They're letting us out again. Frank's trusting us to go out again, which is good. We haven't messed up too bad yet. We're working on it.
We're ready to try again.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, wherever you go today, the Lord is with you. Turn around and say hi. God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.